If you're caught up on the reading, then you're up through about Deuteronomy 14. If you're a little bit behind, that's okay. You've got some time to catch up between now and next Sunday. And by next Sunday, we should be all finished up with the entire book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 34. Now, a lot of the things that you started reading last week and we'll read this week are similar to things that you've read before in other parts of the law. But I want to highlight one thing as we get started, and it's this. We humans have difficulty hearing each other. We humans have difficulty hearing each other. That's all I'm going to say. We're going to watch about, we have a 1 minute little video.
Listen to me. Like I do this all the time, and if I go out at the house, Matthew has his toys.
Okay, but I have to yell at you guys.
Linda, listen.
Okay, what?
Like, everything they do at this house, they can't trust everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
Linda, but listen to me. Look at, if you do something, if you get that out, that thing off, you're going to break it.
Okay, but I'm asking, I'm letting you know
but
that you cannot.
Know, Linda,
no,
Linda, I'm. Look it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda.
Listen to me now.
Listen to me now. Listen to me.
No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma.
Linda,
didn't you?
Linda, lick it.
Oh, to be three again. Listen, Linda. Thank you, Stacy, for reminding me of that from a few weeks ago. And that is something we probably all have some experience with in our life, that classic battle of wills. And we often have trouble hearing each other because we don't like to be told what to do. And that starts from a very early age, and that continues all the way to the very end. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how Moses' story ends. And it doesn't end as he thought it would, because he, no matter how faithful he was, no matter how humble he was, he still was willful as well. And he would have consequences for his actions. You see, as humans, we want to be heard. So just like little Mateo there, we go back and forth. We don't want to give up or give in. And round we go. And we want someone to listen to us. But this difficulty that we have as humans goes way beyond hearing. Most of the time, we hear perfectly well. If you are a male who happens to have someone living in the house with you, a spouse, then you know a little bit about what I'm talking about, that kind of selective hearing that sometimes males can have. But this is true for all people. We choose not to listen, and instead we do what? We rebel. We want to do what we want to do. We want to have it our way. And this is the problem that God's people face throughout the journey that they've been on in the wilderness. You know, last week we said that God gives us the ability to choose, to make choices. And in this case, his people more often than not choose to remain rebellious. They remain rebellious. They choose rebellion when just across the river is the land of promise and blessing that they've been wandering for 40 years waiting for. That land is right there across the river, and they still would rather choose rebellion. And so God has to speak to them once again through Moses, and he has a listen, Linda, kind of moment with his people. Except when God says, listen up, he expects his people to do just that. Now, just as a reminder, when the book of Deuteronomy starts, The group is camped on the plains of Moab. That was the area that they had been fighting with before in some of the earlier parts. And now they're camped in this plain on the east side of the Jordan River. And just on across the way is going to be Jericho. And that will be that first town that they have to go in and conquer when they start into the land. So Moses starts Deuteronomy, and he is given this word from the Lord to remind the people all the things that he talked about. All of the instructions, all of the commands and laws. And so he does that because Moses has learned it's better to do what God says than not. So he recounts their journey in the first four chapters. He reminds them of all that God has commanded them to do and learn. And this is basically his summary. If I was going to summarize the first four or five chapters of Deuteronomy, it's this. Do what God says and obey. Follow his way and don't wander off. And if you do this, you will prosper and experience a life full of God's promises all the days of your life. That would be how I would summarize 1 through 5. Moses is careful to give them their history of what they have done up to this point. And he wants to give them an accurate history, but it's also a careful reminder to the group of people that are before him, a new group of Israelites. All of the people that have started off have died in the desert, as God said they would. This is a new group of people. And he challenges them not to follow in the steps of their recent ancestors. Don't make their same mistakes. Don't be a part of their rebellious ways. Instead, choose to follow the footsteps of the Lord, who is your God. And this goes on for many chapters. It's a very long series of speeches. It is the Lord who is going to lead them to cross that Jordan River and into the promised land. So get to it. And this is where Deuteronomy 6 starts. And it starts with this word. No, this is not Shema. It's Shema. And this is a super important word. This is the word, and we actually have a picture of it. This is how it looks in Hebrew. And it's basically God saying, listen, Linda. Except he says, listen, O Israel. But it's more than just hearing with our ears. It has all of these nuances to it. It means to hear, to listen, to obey, to comply, to accept, to heed. And those of you that like older words, to hearken to. I just couldn't fit that on the slide. This is verse 4 in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. It has that meaning beyond just hearing with our ears. When we hear the word Shema, or the Israelites heard that word, they know that this word means action as well. It means respond to what God is saying. In fact, the response of the people is the evidence that they've actually listened in the first place. There's that movie a while back with Chris Rock and Jackie Chan. Jackie Chan has this long spiel, and Chris Rock says some words as well. And then there's this famous line, do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Does anyone know how he responds? No one understands the words that are coming out of your mouth. This is what God is trying to say to us. Do you understand what I am saying to you? Listen, do what I'm telling you to do, and it will go well for you. But you're free to choose. That would be my paraphrase. Shema, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. It's actually a command that demands that God's people respond in an appropriate way. Listen up, my people. Let me read the whole passage, verses 4 through 9. If you are using the Immerse book, this is on page 283, the bottom of it. I'll just read verses 4 through 9 to start. It says this, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And we even do some of that still today. Sometimes people will have a particular verse on their wall or right by the door when they go and they come into their home. Listen, O Israel. Interestingly enough, this piece of scripture was discovered on one of the oldest manuscripts ever found. And I don't normally do this, but we have a picture of it. And it's called the Nash Fragment. And this was discovered about 115 years ago by an English doctor who was in Egypt. And he went up to an Egyptian antique dealer. And this dealer had this in his possession somehow. And it was this old piece of scripture from about 150 BC. So it's over 2,000 years old. And it had both the Ten Commandments written on it, and it had this section of the Shema from Deuteronomy 6. And it was in four pieces. This is the top piece, and then this is the bottom half of it. And these four pieces, their best guess is that they were rolled up like little scrolls or little pieces of scripture, and they were put into a little box that Jews, some still do it today, would wear on their forehead. And they would use this as some of their daily prayer life and a constant reminder. Put your hand here like this for a second on your forehead. Now imagine walking around with a box tied on your forehead like this all the time. You're going to be aware that it's there all the time. And this was that constant reminder to keep the Word of God close to your heart. Now Jesus later on in the New Testament says, you've started to just walk around with this as a status symbol, and it has lost the heart meaning, or maybe you never had the heart meaning in the first place, and he says, rather than doing this, where is the Word of God? Yet in your heart. And so he's also pushing us to keep the Word of God, not just physically close to us, but within our very being, to the core of who we are. This piece of scripture that was discovered was so fragile that no one was able to even see it for almost 100 years, because if you touched it, it would fall apart. And then finally in 2017, they were able to digitize it and release it for free so everyone in the world could see it. It's certainly very cool, but more than just being a cool piece of history, it can really give us confidence of the truth of scripture. That the accuracy of the Word of God is true. And what God said all those thousands of years ago to Moses and the Israelites still holds truth for us today. These verses in the Shema, or the Shema prayer, this is what Jesus says is the greatest commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all of ourselves. Everything about us. This statement of commitment is probably the most foundational commitment for the people of God, the Israelites. This is probably the most important scripture that they hold on to throughout the generations. And it's important for us today. And Jesus has confirmed that as much. He says this is the greatest commandment. Why is this so important? Why is it so important to remember that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone? Why is it so important that we know that we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart? I think at least one reason for the Israelites and for us today, just as they were preparing to enter the land, they were looking across the river and they see this unfamiliar land with people that live differently than them, that engage in different practices. And both then and now, you will be surrounded in your life by people and practices and enticements and experiences that will tempt you away from living the full new life that God promises and intends for you to live. This was his concern for his people all those thousands of years ago, that they would start to follow the ways that were not God, to follow the ways of the people that they encountered, and that in so doing they would walk away from him. And I think it's God's same concern for us as well. We could summarize this command perhaps in a couple of ways. On the back of your bulletin, I have just one blank to fill in. This is how I would summarize it. If God was to say, "Hear, O Edgewater, hear, O Israel." When God's people listen well by responding in obedience to God, that's the little extra part. When we listen well and love well, it reveals a transformed heart for God. Sorry, you can't see it. It got cut off below the heart. For God. When God's people listen well by responding in obedience to God, and we learn to love well, and it's love that motivates us to obey, then together this reveals a transformed heart for God. What's the result when you have a transformed heart? I like the picture. The picture on the left is a stone heart that slowly gets turned into a heart on fire for God, on fire, empowered by the Holy Spirit. What's the result of a transformed heart? I mean, there's lots of results. But if we learn to listen and love well, the result is that God is revealed in greater capacity to the world through you and me and his church. And that everything in your life, all that you do and say each day, has the power to change the world, to make a difference for Jesus' sake. When we engage each day with an awareness and a reminder that our heart has been transformed by God, we fulfill the calling, the ancient calling of God's people, to bless the world. We exist to bless the world, not to curse the world. We want to be a blessing, not a curse. This is our high calling as God's people in this world. To listen means we obey God, and to obey, we must love. Last week, I said that God has given us the freedom to choose. You know, God chose us. He chose humanity. He chose to reach out to us in love. And when we choose to love him well, love becomes that motivation that keeps you following him. You know, your emotions, they're going to go up and down. You're not always going to feel like it, but it's that deep core love, the love that you've received from God that motivates you to continue, to keep on going. To share that, to be that blessing to all of those people that you come in contact with. We can't listen without love, and we can't love without listening. And this here is the paradox. We're not very good at either. And in fact, this is something that the Israelites would find out, that even if they listened to God and they tried to follow him as well as they possibly could, they would always fall short. No one could ever keep all of those hundreds of commandments perfectly all the time. We said this, I think, last week or the week before. We have trouble barely following 10, let alone hundreds. Early on, people knew that there was trouble, that we weren't able to really listen and love well. And it rarely happens naturally. Why? Because our hearts, we have this heart condition. All of us need to see our doctor about it. Not just our physical doctor, but it's this heart condition that our sins are all, our hearts are always prone to sin. We're always bending towards being rebellious. It's this condition in our heart. So to counteract these impulses, God provides this system in the Old Testament, which Jesus then responds to in the New Testament. Ways for people to develop a relationship with him each day so that there's the hope of being able to listen well and love well. The Israelites, when you read through those verses, they actually use these as a foundation for how to structure their life. They use the actual verses, especially verses 4 and 5, as daily prayers. They would recite this twice a day. Sometimes you might do that with the Lord's Prayer or other prayers. This was a constant rhythm, and it reminded them to teach those that they encountered, especially the children that they were responsible for, but also other people that they had contact with. It reminded them to engage with and meditate on Scripture. It reminded them that symbols can be useful for reminding us that the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. The problem is when the symbol becomes a status symbol and we lose that heart connection. The Israelites use these all the time. You know, God knows that we need many reminders because our hearts. For the Israelites, he launches right in. He doesn't waste any time, and he reminds them of where they came from and how they got there. Let me read verses 10 through 12 for us. It says this, "The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It is a land with large, prosperous cities that you did not build. The houses will be richly stocked with goods you did not produce. You will draw water from cisterns you did not dig. And you will eat from vineyards and olive trees you did not plant. When you have eaten your fill in this land," and here's the payoff, "be careful not to forget the Lord who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt." See, God knows that when things especially go well, it's easy to forget. Isn't that true? That when your life is going peachy, when you don't have a lot of trouble, maybe your stress level is lower, you're not as worried, you have less anxiety, sometimes you start to think, man, this is pretty good. And we can forget how we got there in the first place and who brought us to that place. And so God will always work to remind us of this. Living under the promises and blessing of God is part of his amazingly wonderful design. But it requires our continued obedience. Remember where you came from. Remember who saved us. We might say the phrase, never forget. We use that all the time. That's what God wants from us. Never forget that you were once slaves, that you were once enslaved, and now you are free. Now you can be free. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, this is what the Lord says. "Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who do what? Love him and obey his commands. See, God, as God's people, if you count yourself as part of God's people already, if you've put your trust in Jesus, we should want to experience this unfailing love. And God makes it very simple. He says, you can experience this unfailing love. Continue to obey and love me. The love that the faithful God pours out is on all who continue to do this. Love him and obey him. There's no mystery to this. There's no secret code that only some people are privy to. It's all laid out bare for us. So I have three questions that I want to end with for you today. What word of truth from the Lord will require you to listen well? Perhaps right now, perhaps in the week to come. What word of truth from the Lord will require you to listen well? Perhaps it's a hard truth about yourself. Perhaps it's something God is asking you to do that you've wrestled with for a while now. Perhaps it's simply a word that says, keep seeking me. What is that word of truth that's going to require you to listen well to God? As you hear God speaking, because he does speak, especially when we continue to seek after him, what will it take to obey that word of truth from the Lord? What will it take to obey that word of truth from the Lord? See, it might be easy to hear a word from God. It's a little bit harder to actually listen and obey what God is asking you to do or who God is asking you to be in this season of your life. But here's the good question. How will your active response lead you to love well? See, when God wants you to obey, when he says, follow me, he's not doing it just because he wants to make you miserable. He has this desire to lead you in the way of life so that you're able to listen and love well. How will this lead you to love well? To love God as he commands us to in his word, with your whole self, heart, body, mind, strength, all of you. There are no parts that are not included in this. We all have difficulty listening, just like little Listen Linda kid at the beginning. Maybe all of us are that kid at times, where we just want someone to listen to us, or we don't really want to listen, so we just keep talking. But perhaps you're here this morning and things are not so great. Perhaps you are in a particularly difficult place. Maybe it's a place of exile, like what eventually happens to the Israelites. Maybe you're in that place of resistance where you feel far from God's presence. Or maybe it's a place where you are experiencing the harsh consequences of bad choices. That exists too, we know all so well. If you're in any of those places, hear this, that even in the aftermath of sin, even in acts of faithlessness, even in wayward moments, and even in exile, God remains faithful. And he remains faithful to you. Hear this word from Deuteronomy 4. This is verse 29 through 31. This might be the word for you today if you're in this place. But from there, you will search again for the Lord your God. And if you search for him with all your heart and soul, you will find him. In the distant future, when you are suffering all these things, you will finally return to the Lord your God and listen to what he tells you. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. Praise the Lord. He will not abandon you or destroy you or forget the solemn covenant he made with your ancestors. If you believe in Jesus, you are part of the people of God, and that covenant that he made with your spiritual ancestors still holds true today for you and for us and for the church. Verse 39 says this, "So remember this and keep it firmly in mind. The Lord is God both in heaven and on earth, and there is no other. If you obey all the decrees and commands I'm giving you today, all will be well with you and your children. I'm giving you these instructions so you will enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you for all time. A land of promise and blessing." Isn't that a place, a life that sounds like it's worth living, being a part of? Remember all that God has done, all that he is and all that he requires. He's asking for our trust, for us to obey him. And when we do, we shall experience life as he intends it from the beginning. This is the kind of life that if we step firmly into it, is not only worth living, but is a life where we get to participate in that high calling that I talked about before, that God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to the world. How will you bless the world in the week to come? This is the power of Shema, that we listen to the Lord and respond. As you remember what the Lord has done for you, may you respond to him in wholehearted obedience today and every day. And as it says often in the Bible, I'll end with this. All who have ears to hear, let them hear. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word which is a word of hope, a word of promise, a word of challenge. I thank you that you reveal yourself as the loving and faithful God who is worthy of listening to, who is worthy of following and receiving all honor and glory. God, I pray for this group of people this morning that you would enable us and empower us to be able to listen well to you. That you would empower and enable each person here to be able to love well. And that as we do those things, that we might feel that transformation that you have started in our hearts. Lord, we thank you. We praise you this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.